Last week, we started a lesson on day and night. And like Daryl said earlier today in the scripture reading, it was just the stark difference between good and bad and us and them, the world and so forth. And last week we looked, and I just want to look real quick. Don't want to spend too much time on what we looked at last week. But Daryl read us again the scripture reading. Back in Isaiah it says, "Woe to those. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Those are examples that literally, that they couldn't be farther from each other. Amen. And we looked at that last week. We looked at the world about how the message of the world is you can't know truth. Which is ironic because they have two different extremes. One, that you can't know truth, and that truth for you is different than truth for somebody else. And I mean, well, if you listen to some, truth for you is different than truth for, well, there is no truth. Amen. But, you know, it's to the point of, and this is no different than it was in the first century, but in our society today, just the idea that Christians and Christianity is attacked, how the Bible is just slandered, and if you proclaim and profess to be a Christian, well, you're one of the worst things there is. And It amazes me how there is a, I was talking with Colin earlier, right after Bible class, and about how there is such a growing desire by some in this country for socialism and communism, which are just anti-religion. Amen. And I never thought I would live in a country that was promoted, because our country was based on Christianity. We ended up last week with how the world and how man, they can legalize and make socially acceptable anything they want. But just because man does it, doesn't mean it's acceptable to God. Amen. And, you know, hate to admit it, here in our state, there are places in our state that prostitution is legal. I was listening to a politician just the other day wanted to make it legal throughout the nation. One of the people that threw her hat in the ring for president wants to make it legal through our country. Just because, even if it does, we'll pass the 28th Amendment that it's legal. Doesn't mean it's right in God's eyes. Amen. And we looked at all of these. Again, I never thought I would live in a country that accepted killing a baby up to birth, and some even after birth. God, we talk about night and day. This is not about politics. Not at all. It's not about politics. It's about God's word. Amen. In a lot of ways, there's no place for political views coming from the pulpit. It's not about politics. It's about right and wrong. Amen. It's about biblical teachings, doctrine. In 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote to the Christians in Corinth. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And that's pretty straightforward. The Apostle Paul is speaking in black and white terms, making no bones about it, that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. All of which the world can give a little latitude to. Or a lot of latitude. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. Gets a little bit more in depth in Galatians. Same principle. When he's writing the letter to the Christians there in Galatia, in chapter 5, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident. It's clear. You talk about day and night. It's not even close. It's clear. It's evident. Which are adultery, fornication. You can't turn on television these days unless you go to the old state, you know, the MeTV or something like that, Andy Griffith, or, you know, which that's about all I watch anymore. Gunsmoke, Andy Griffith, I Love Lucy. But you know, that these are not just an accepted form of entertainment. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. I was doing pretty good there for a while. I was on a roll. I was doing good. I was feeling good about myself there for a while. Outbursts of wrath. Ugh. Selfish ambitions. Dissensions. Heresies. Envy. Murders. Drunkenness. Revelries. And then he throws in, and the like. Anything like this, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I feel pretty good about myself on a lot of those. But we've got to uphold all of them. As a Christian, we don't want to go to hell for adultery or murder or idolatry. But a question I would ask Christians, would it make us feel any better to go to hell for envy, or outbursts of wrath, or dissensions? To be a divisive person? Would it make us feel better if we went to hell for those? They're in the same category. They're the same things that keep us from heaven as murder, fornication, And things like that. It's night and day. We have no business with any of those. Not only is there that night and day difference with the world, But the church needs to be separate. And we have to be vigilant in the church, not only from outside teachings, not only from the things outside in the world that we have to keep our guard up, but things like the teaching of false doctrine. Incomplete doctrine, which is just as bad. You know, there's no doubt that teaching false doctrine is wrong, but teaching incomplete doctrine. You know, we live in the town of the 24-hour buffet. Buffets are great. Buffets are sometimes too great. But a buffet, you can take whatever you want. If you like this dish here, pile on a whole bunch of that. And then you get to this, ooh, no eggplant for me. I love vegetables, I don't like eggplant. Maybe I've just never had it made properly. Maybe it just needs to be battered and fried and gravy on it, I don't know. But at a buffet, we can pile on the things we like. And if we don't like this dish, we don't have to have. Now, growing up in my house, my mom said you had to at least try it. You had to have at least the serving of it and finish it. Okay? But with the teaching of incomplete doctrine, it's not a thing that teach the truth on the things you want to, and we'll just skirt around these issues. We'll mum's the word. You know, we're not going to talk about those issues. That's as wrong as teaching false doctrine. And we as the church, and I will give you my solemn promise. I will always do my best, whatever that is, to preach sound and complete doctrine. Amen. That is my not only pledge to you, my pledge to God. Mm-hmm. And we have to be that night and day in the church, you know, and not flirt with the world. Let's try to make it so, you know, and I'm not saying not make it appealing to people, but we can't bend doctrine to make it more appealing. I've said a gazillion times, you want to fill this place up? We could pass out $100 bills at the door. We'd get it filled up. Not saying that, but we can't flirt with the world to make it so appealing that anybody, you know, that they can't tell the difference. What was it the Israelites? Give us a king. We want to be like the world, the nations around us. God's people, the Israelites, were separate. They were God's people. Be different. The church was, the Greek word was the ecclesia, the called out. Let's be called out. Let's be separate and unique. Not to where we blend those lines that we're just like anybody else. We are different. We are different. God wanted that. And we can't condone sin. If we as Christians condone sin, then we wouldn't be teaching sound doctrine. So that's it just goes without saying. Paul told his beloved Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he tells him what's going to come. And I tell you, I just kind of wonder about us today as I read this. Paul tells Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They will exchange soundness for something perverted. They will exchange the truth of the glory of the Word of God for something that tickles their ears that they want to hear. Matthew 7, verse 15, Jesus tells his followers, he goes, beware of false prophets. Beware of them. Who come to you in sheep's clothing. They sound religious. Beware of them. Because, he says, but inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. He's talking to his followers. You beware of false prophets. I don't care if it's a preacher, an elder. We talked earlier on there in Galatians about people that cause dissensions, cause divisions over, it sounds good, sounds like it's from the Bible, but it's not. That's very dangerous. In Matthew 13, Jesus is talking, he says, therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Wow. I never want that to be me. I look at the things Jesus said in Revelation as John wrote the letter to the seven churches. You know, Jesus says, I know your works. And some of them have left their first love. They had fallen away. They were God's people. And they had fallen away day and night. You know, there's no little bit saved. There's not, I'm a little bit of a sinner. Or I'm a little bit saved. We're either saved or we're not. And he goes on to say, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. God is waiting there, but we need to be there for God. In Nehemiah, and Daryl said earlier in his remarks before he read the scripture, these are not brand new issues. These are not brand new concepts. It's not new to us today. It was going on in the first century. It wasn't new to them. It was going on back in the Old Testament. In Nehemiah, it says, but they and our fathers acted proudly, hardened their necks, and did not heed your commandments. They refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them. We're studying on the Sunday nights that I've had the opportunity to speak to the congregation. We've been kind of looking at Moses taking the Israelites out of Egypt and headed for the Promised Land. They had forgotten the wonders that God had done in this process, taking them out of bondage. But they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion, they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. That's what we do. That's the God we leave when we turn from God. 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes, abstain from every form of evil. Some evil is easy to turn from. Some sin, I don't have one bit of a temptation in some sense. Man, if that's all I had to do, I'd be cooking with gas. Okay? Paul says abstain from every form. Don't flirt with the world, seeing how close to the line we can get. And how we can maybe appear still like the world. We are different. And as you look at me, you're thinking, yeah, you sure are different. But we're different. We're different from the world. And I want to end up here with Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 8 and 9. Paul wrote, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption." Again, night and day difference. "But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." And here's the key. Here's the key. If we get one thing out of today, please tune into this. "And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." We can't not finish the race. We've got to finish. And we can't grow weary of doing good, or while doing good, and not lose heart. We live in a very day and night, black and white world. Things are good, things are bad, things are of God, things are of the world. They're of the flesh, they're of the spirit. There are a lot of gray issues that don't matter, but the things that do matter are black and white. They are day and night. As we're starting into this new week, realize we are different, and that our light needs to shine in a dark, dark world. At work, at home, as Dick said in class today, every time we go out of our house, we're teaching a lesson. Some way. Maybe not even verbally. But we're teaching a lesson by the way we conduct ourselves. And let's be lights, bright lights, in a very dark world. If you need to respond to the invitation through needing prayers, if you need to repent of sin in your life, if there is a sin that's keeping you from serving God and being pleasing to God, repent of it. Change. Turn from that. If you're needing prayers of the congregation, let us go with you to God in prayer. If you're looking for a church home, we would love to add you to our numbers here to work, worship, fellowship with here. Whatever your need, if you would come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation song, let your need be known.